Welcome back to From the Field. I'm Will Haverkamp.
And I'm Joe Jurisic.
And thanks for joining us for part two of our conversation with Nicholas Stadden from Averde. This is where we turn the mic and he asks questions for myself and Joe to answer about what keeps us up at night, the importance of mentorship, why you should always have a business card, and then a closing story about Patagonia. Enjoy.
So here, look, I have a question for you, Chops.
Sure.
With your business, what are some of the things that keep you awake at night, whether it's from a grower end or working with contractors or landscape architects? What are some of the things that worry you on now, today? And what are some of the things that worry you 2 or 3 years from now?
That's a great question.
I have some immediate ones, Joe. I'll start and then you can... Then you go.
Formulate. Hold on, I gotta start writing stuff down.
And I'll try to make this kind of short and sweet too. Sure. But so let's talk about immediately what has kept me awake at night. I think, you know, well, this definitely was a startup business 5 years ago. We started this with the idea of creating connectivity within the industry, really bringing people together was the whole point, and allowing folks, you know, a transparent like look into really what's out there, what's it going to cost me, and the quickest way to get it to you, you know, those sort of things. And we were really trying to find solutions for folks in the industry to do business better. And the things that kept me awake at night were just, you know, we were trying to build this website to make all the ends come together. And you know, it's kind of like being a, you know, we wore a number of different hats, and we were salespeople, and we were trying to spread the good word about what we were doing to change the industry and so on and so forth. But like, you know, the things that kept me awake were like, if a guy put an order in and it was coming from a particular supplier that, you know, they had needed 7 trees. And I always had a dream that, you know, 2 of the trees didn't make the truck, and they went all the way across the, you know, 3 states to get to this job site. And this guy had to have, you know what I mean? Just the pitfalls of small, like, details getting missed.
Yeah.
You know, we really care about like making sure that end to end our customers are having a good experience. So we have to piece together a lot when it comes to making it happen. So it's, you know, it comes from a supplier. We do the connection between the two where we actually get it on a truck. We'll schedule the truck. If the supplier doesn't, you know, isn't a part of it, and we actually help on that piece, and then getting it to the job site and making sure that the customer is happy with it. You know, it was all about just the nuts and bolts of it all fitting together. And we had so much to marry that it was like, you know, those were all the things that kept me sweating bullets and stressing things at night. You know, that was the immediate. And like, now I've totally lost sight of what the other portion of your question was, because I got so wrapped up in that. But like,
so like 3 years on.
Yeah.
3-5 years on, what are you looking at? What are you thinking about?
I want to make sure that, you know, we don't lose sight of us being like a combination between being relationship and digital. Mm-hmm. You know, finding a good spot to where people are really using this like Landscape Hub as a way to better their business, but also still understanding the importance of, you know, like what you're talking about, that face-to-face interaction, and not losing sight of that. I think that's a very humanistic piece of it that we just can't miss that. You got to have it. So that's one of the things I want to make sure that we don't lose touch in that respect. You know, like, plants are a living thing that you can see, touch, feel, experience with your eyes, you know, and you know, when you're out there, those guys are creating those landscapes and that sort of thing. It's all a very interactive thing. So I hope that we can keep it all cohesive to where we don't lose the humanistic piece of doing business. So that's me. I'll jump off my soapbox now.
Great feedback.
Yeah.
Good. Joe. It's the same. Will and I have been doing this from the beginning, and there's you know, when we started Landscape Hub, there wasn't anything to benchmark what we're doing. Like, you know, we were pioneers in this. Maybe there were a couple other folks, but doing like a different flavor of what we're doing, maybe more of a, like a you know, like a just a listing. Or maybe like, you know, technically a marketplace, but they're really just online brokers kind of deal. And, you know, representing and giving the suppliers the value right away. Tech moves, you know, our industry moves very fast. Like you said, like what you brought up earlier about taking the 10 to 15 minutes to plan out your day and stuff, that's huge. But a lot of us don't do that. And I think we need to do that. but our industry moves so fast, but the tech side of it is very meticulous. They are taking the 10 to 15 minutes to plan it out right. Because if you build something and then have to go back and rebuild it, you've wasted that. It's money, it's time. You frustrated, you know, your team internally. So thinking about the proper way of doing it and then building towards it versus just like, all right, just do this and we'll just put a Band-Aid on it for now. You know, and then how that would lead to like a customer interaction, because sometimes the customers are moving faster than we can, and finding that balance. I'm like plenty of times, like Will said, waking up in the middle of the night being like, all right, is that truck situated? Is that good to go? Is this customer going to like it? Like we, our goal in Landscape Hub is also, you know, along with fostering and developing existing relationships, is bringing new people to the table. Like, hey, is this going to be a good fit? Like, I hope this new, you know, nursery and buyer interaction goes well, you know, because I feel good about that at the end of the day. I'm helping a grower who previously, you know, maybe didn't take the time to invest in marketing, didn't take the time to invest in technology. I'm, you know, we're opening up a door for them and then making sure that that experience is heartwarming and it's good so that they continue that, because that's what they need. You know, that, or go back 10 years, people were, you know, giving away 3-inch trees for $95. You know, our industry took a real just kick in the teeth, and what we're doing,
took a beating.
It was back then. You're connecting the dots and you're helping like the industry as a whole. And just, you know, Will and I, we're very harsh critics of ourselves. I mean, Will will nod his head in saying that, you know, we want things to be perfect. So, you know, making sure those interactions are good, that they come back and they do it again. Some stuff goes wrong. We're human. It's just the way it is. And, you know, technology, there are glitches. So just making sure that the customer experience overall is huge. That's what kept me awake and building this, and it is getting better. It is, sure. You know, the stories that we're hearing from business interactions on it, you know, hearing from the suppliers saying, hey, this is great. You know, you guys got me into a new market. You're helping me build that customer base. And now even with some of the existing, like, hey, that person was maybe a five to 10 grand client. Now they're 25, 30, you know, using you. You know, it's a huge undertaking to build what we're building. And it's a lot of, you know, I've gone partially bald because of it, you know, just traveling around and just making sure that, you know, what we're doing as a company is fitting the model for what the customers, both side of them, need. And then at the end of the day, my biggest thing is, you know, like everyone just giving you the thumbs up, like that was good. Like, you know, this is what we need. This is what the industry needs. So I'll get
that's
off.
That's terrific. Terrific. So, so talk to me about your national initiatives. I'll be open here. Most of our business, I believe, is done with you from the Florida farms
and Texas. Wow.
Yeah. So what's your vision of the rest of America?
One big connected marketplace, opening up logistics lanes, solving some of those, you know, helping with the financials, something that it's been a kind of a staple from the beginning, and I've said it, and people who know me, I've said this a lot. Nurseries are not banks. So, and that's, we had to do what we had to do 10 years ago, but you know, kind of taking the pain points and then taking those nationwide and then solving them. That seems like a, you know, monumental undertaking, but you're developing we're business is already done offline coast to coast, but how can we make it better? And that's digitizing it and providing the open availabilities and being transparent about it. Regionality has helped, you know, some folks grow and maybe they're taking advantage of it, but in the same sense, it kind of hinders people. It hinders growth. So having an open connected network where you can hop on a truck, you can get what you need. But in the same time, developing those relationships like what we're doing right now. So, oh, shut up, Will. I know you want to step on, do it.
No. I mean, you're going down a great path too. It's like, I don't think people really realize or understand this, you know, like doing the big numbers and looking at it from a helicopter view of the entire, you know, thing. Is it $78 billion a market that's available? There's over, you know, they say what, 500,000 landscape companies across the country.
Yep. Yeah. Over,
you know, 100,000, if you will. I mean, these are just numbers I'm tossing out there, but you know, at least like I need someone to probably fact check me, but yeah, 100,000 suppliers, growers, distributors, you know, folks that are out there, all these people that you could create some serious connectivity with, and you could do it pretty quick and easy through a platform like Landscape Hub. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of question around change. That's how we are as humans, right? And how's it going to work best for me? How can I dive into it? You know, it's easy to, and then it's very much harder to, you know, cater to the, well, I want it now kind of thing, you know, the instant gratification piece and all that. Like, we're making a lot of things come together. But again, I'm going to go back to the same thing that Joe and I always talk about, you know, where we've seen the most success for our suppliers that engage with Landscape Hub are the folks that want to get out of it as much as they put into it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the guys and the gals that are totally killing it with us. And we truly partner, whether that's on the supply side of things or whether it's on the buying side. So the more you lean into it and the more you trust it, the more, like, you know, whatever, we're not perfect, but we're a lot better than where we were when we first.
Do you believe that in order for someone to be successful in their business, that they have to have a passion for what they do? Now, I'm sure there are people in the stock market, you know, they're in the stock market because they want to make a lot of money, but they hate what they do, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the thought process for someone to be successful in our business?
I would say just exactly that. Will and I have talked with some great leaders, some very successful people, and the underlying tone of it is passion. Like, they are thinking about it 24/7. Along with then having a healthy, like, balance. But, like, you know, they, in your talks with them, they said they're always forward thinking. You know, they're very open to change, and that's the biggest. Like Will said, you know, 5 minutes ago, you know, we present a new way of doing business to someone, and their initials, like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't want to change. Like, why should I reinvent the wheel? And it's like, well, you know, the wheel probably started off as a square that broke and then probably rolled a lot better. So why not give it a shot? So, but the people that are, you know, that are doing very successful are always open to change and having a forward thought. And, like, there are better ways versus, like, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, son, don't tell me how to sell a plant. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. I know it's worked for you, but guess what? Times change. Ages and stages. My grandmother says it to me all the time. Be prepared for ages and stages. Always look up to the future. Always, you know, understand what's going to be next. And those successful people, I think, you know, emulate that passion. They emulate the ability to, you know, be open to hear, you know, what their peers are saying and make a change for the better. You don't want to be left behind. So, Will?
That's a tough act to follow.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, I definitely share a lot of the same sentiments that Joe does. You know, it kind of depends on how you're strung as a human. You know, not everyone is I'm definitely a passionate person. I'm a feeler in a lot of different ways, you know, like, I don't think I'd be where I am today without having passion for what I do. I don't think I would stay in the profession if I didn't have passion for what I do. So I think it's definitely, like, one of the core things that drives me as a person, as well as, you know, professionally and personally, you know, just wanting to, there's a lot of humanistic values to work and play both. Right. So I think to be successful at either of them, you have to be passionate for what you do. And once you get involved with, believe in it, stand for something. I know people are a lot smarter than we think they are. They sniff that out real quick. If you're not genuine, if you're not, you know, if you're not real about what it is that you're trying to accomplish, I think that is pretty darn evident, and it'll hold you back. So,
I think they're very, very sincere words. I mean, they're from the heart. And thank you for answering the question, because I think it's, I'm sure I hope we got some people on the line today that kind of they think about that. They ask those sorts of questions. Sure. I think it's crucial for all of us on a regular basis. And I do this. I have three questions I ask myself. I've done this for years. And the questions I ask myself are, Am I in the right place? That's, you know, the profession I'm in. Yeah. I used to ask that about my marriage. Just kidding. That's a joke. All right. Sorry about that. That's my mischievous sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, passcode the link for this one.
So with your business, are you in the right place, right? Are you in the right business at the right time? You know, is this the time, whether it's years, months, whatever it might be, you know, is this the right time to be in that particular profession?
Yep.
And then the most important thing is, are you with the right people? Now, whether you're an owner, a manager, a crew chief, whatever you might be, you know, are the people around you the right people? Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself that. That's a very hard question. So the other day I was talking to an old pal of mine, and we were kind of yakking away about, you know, the profession and other professions and, you know, what's going on with other businesses and stuff like that. And I said to him, Ed, I said, what do you think the most important thing for any business is for the next 5 years? You know, he didn't miss a beat. He did not miss a beat. He said to me, hiring the right people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so you chaps, I'm thinking you're about half my age, right? So there's a lot of us in the nursery business who are getting older. Right. And so, you know, the good news is, as long as the companies feel we're valuable, we'll be around for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many businesses who are kind of top heavy with older people. And I mean, no offense to anyone on the call. I really don't. No, it's not my intent. But the crucial thing. Yeah. But the crucial thing is that, you know, be bold. You have to really, you know, this planning time, you know, part of the planning of the business is bringing people on board, and who is going to replace who. You know, you don't just bring a manager on board, right? You know, 1 week and start him or her off in the business the next week. You know, you bring them in now to replace somebody in a senior position, maybe 5 years from now, you know, 2 years from now, whatever it might be. So I think that a real part of sort of the owner manager responsibility is spending time, whether it's with community colleges, universities, you know, getting out there, making sure you join the local associations, the nursery groups, whatever it might be, coming to Mance. You know, I'm sure Mance will have a job board, right? You can meet people. There's a term called sussing. Do you know, have you heard that? Sussing people out? When you suss somebody out? No? So when you suss somebody out, right, you're looking for somebody to provide a need for you, or you're looking for somebody to come work for you, might be. These big trade shows like Mance are great people to suss people out, look for them, you know, establish a relationship. Forgive me because I'm preaching now.
No, you're good.
For those of you on the call, my guess is that some of you do not have business cards. I am appalled. I'm appalled by the amount of people I run into who don't have a business card. You have to have a business card. You could go down to Staples today, right? I think you probably have a Staples somewhere nearby you, wherever you are. And I think there's a setup fee for about $50 to do all the artwork. And then you can buy like 250 business cards for something like $15 or $20 with your name, rank, serial number, who you are. You know, you can have a logo on there, a jingle, that sort of thing, if you like. But what's so important about business cards is you don't just give somebody a business card. There's an art in you present a business card. It's very interesting. If you've worked with people from the Pacific Rim countries, from Asia, when they give you a business card, they present the business card in two hands. It's a very formal process of giving. So when you give somebody your business card, don't just take it out and give it to them. You take a little bit of time finding it. I have a couple of business card holders. So I take my holder out, right? And I'm talking, and I open my business card holder, and I extract a card, and I present this to them. Because what you're doing is you're giving a piece of yourself to somebody. And then in exchange, you're asking for their business card. So they might not have a business card. So bear with me. There is a terrific, I'm sure it's in here. I know it's in here, I've got to find it. Okay, it's buried. So in my bag and also on my person, when you meet me at a trade show, I have a fanny pack, right? By the way, fanny packs are coming back in fashion. Oh, they are coming back.
You're relevant, don't you worry. Yeah. My gosh.
So in my fanny pack, I have my phone, I have my business cards, right? And I also have my moleskin, right? Which is it's a journalist notepad. Fits in the palm of your hand,
yeah.
Right? You can buy the $9 model or you can buy the $17 model, right? So if someone doesn't have a business card, you take out your pen, right? And then you say, please write your information down on my notepad. Because when they say to you, oh, don't worry, I'll send you an email. Maybe 1 or 2% will send you an email.
Maybe 0.5%.
Yeah. 0.5%. So yeah. you've got to capture that information. Yes. I call that intelligence, right? So it's kind of like a military term. Hey, we've got to gather intelligence. So you know, when you go to a trade show, that's one of the key things is gathering business cards. You know, you might never speak to that person again. But I promise you, you're going to collect 2 or 3 business cards that will be extremely beneficial to you. I'm done. I'm not going to say any more about business.
It's very interesting because I still find them very valuable too. There's all kinds of cool ways where you can do you can take your phone and touch it to someone else's phone and it transfers the information. That's another one.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, there's some pretty cool ways to do it nowadays from a number of different possibilities, like using technology, if you will, whatever. But you know, personally, I have a gangload of cards from my adventures, if you will, with Landscape Hub, you know, like for the last 5 years. I literally I just got them out the other day. I have it's what our new business cards come in. They come in these little fancy boxes.
Yeah, there you go. And
you know, so I've actually filled those boxes with cards that I've collected over the years.
Yeah, me too. Exactly the same. Yeah.
And it like takes me down memory lane going through them because I'm like, ooh, this little grouping of business cards. This is when I was at such and such show, whatever a year. And these are the people that I met, you know, like, so it helps you like jog your memory. It's very, it's nostalgic for me anyways.
Yeah. But, you know, cool. I do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I guess at some point, you know, there'll be the big question, you know, when we finally, you know, go into retirement, if that does ever happen, it's like, man, what am I going to do with all this stuff? You know? So it's like, it's kind of like books, you know? So it's crucial to keep learning. Yeah. You know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Sounds trite, but it's true. So I don't know if you, you know, I subscribe. So with the Royal Horticultural Society, I get this unbelievable magazine once a month called The Gardener. Okay. And The Gardener keeps you absolutely abreast of what's going on in Europe, right? They'll have articles on gardens and landscaping in America, South America, South Africa, Japan, you name it. Gardening all over the world. It's very pictorial, but the other thing is it's very trendy. So you see a lot of trends that are going on. Before they even get to America, I subscribe to Fine Gardening, which is an excellent, it's a very pictorial magazine. So you can see how to use groups of plants together. It's a little bit more favored to the East Coast than the Midwest. I mean, that's fine. And I subscribe to a magazine called The Field, which is a British hunt and shoot and fishing magazine. So Joe, I need to remember, I'll throw a couple of 3 copies in my case for you when we come over the mounts, but it's really fun. But these, so, you know, salespeople, and I'm first and foremost a salesperson, you find the odd really good salesperson, administrator. You know, rarely do you find a great administrator who's a great salesperson. Sorry. They tend to be few and far between.
Sure.
So salespeople tend to think in pictures. So the why these magazines are so valuable is you can see how to put things together. And for those of you in sales, you can look at these pictures, and a customer might have one thought, right, pertaining to a certain group of plants, and you can be extremely valuable and fulfill their emotional needs, right, and your financial needs by some of these magazines you've been looking at, bringing the other piece of the picture to help complete the picture for the customer. It's not cool. Not hard.
No. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think there's things in life where you can become a block learner. If you're not continually, you know, adding stuff in there to where you're feeding your brain and allowing yourself to think, you know, critically. Those are some great suggestions. I'm going to have to ask you to like send me that list.
I will do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do you know what we could do? We could do a terrific podcast on Nick's picks, we could call it. Yeah. We could call it Joe and Will's picks. Yeah. But to do a presentation on suggested or required reading, you know, whether it's websites, it could be websites for those of the teams which are more technically involved, but it also could be magazines on a national and a regional basis, and key books in whether, again, these key books, they could be national, they could be regional. And I'll give you one example of a book everyone should have on their shelf today if they're involved in trees, and it's called Trees. And it's been out for about 2 years. You might know it, written by Dr. Michael Durr and Keith Warren, who was the outgoing tree breeder for J. Frank Schmidt, one of the finest, breeding tree and breeding tree companies in America. This book, right, when you receive it, you know, you can order it online and it's put on the doorstep. You'll know when it comes because UPS have two men and a small boy who will bring this book, who bring this box, and then they will place it gently on the doorstep. I mean, it's a great book. Two men and a small boy to bring it up to your front door.
I've had that delivery made to my house. I have the book.
Isn't it a great book?
Indeed it is. Yeah.
Well, I think one thing to point out too is that, you know, even for the listeners, I mean, if you're taking the time to listen to our podcast, which we've had great success and growth with, our industry is very open to learning and continuing that education. You see it at all the trade shows, you see it in conversation with folks. I mean, I think that's something really cool about our industry is that, you know, the push, the willingness to learn and continue the education versus just being like, we're good. I got what I need. I mean, it's very welcoming, to be in an industry that fosters continued education. So even, it doesn't have to be, you know, accredited or whatever, just, you know, taking the time to better yourself. So, and you could tell a good grower that way too, when you go into their field and they're like, well, I'm trying this new technique. I heard about it from a friend or I read about it, and they're taking, and all of a sudden they're seeing the fruits of their labor, where a plant then becomes, you know, 35% better, whether it's form, it's fullness, it's just health in general.
Terrific. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's you know, all of the advice you're giving to these, I mean, the people that are going to listen, they're going to take it to heart, like, oh, they're going to start writing it down. So
that, I think you're onto something with the Knicks picks.
Yeah. No.
If we did something cool, to my brain's running here. But just to, like, even if it was a co-branded Knicks picks and we recorded it once a month, hey, here's the top five things you should be digging in.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we do a little banter back and forth. It's a quick, like, two, three-minute reel, and then we shut up and we send it out to our people, you know?
That'd be terrific. We could really have some fun at Mance. So while we're at Mance, if I may, sleep on this, but look, we could do some videos together and we could go visit some of the larger brands or go around the other booths, talk to people. You're going to have growers there.
Yeah, right.
It's probably on your radar screen ever, but you know, go down and interview these people and talk to them about their plants and whatever it might be. you'll have enough work for a couple of 3 years.
Will and I have always talked about doing a show special. I think it was maybe last year. There was one, we went to the GIE show, and they were doing a podcast live from the floor. So we've always thought about that too. And Will and I starting this about, you know, getting, you know, that interaction on the trade show floor of, you know, who's doing what's coming up for the year, all the exciting stuff. So it's kind of a snippet, just like a, just in case you missed it kind of deal. And then also, you know, a lot of, you know, we've been very fortunate. The people that we have had on from the field are very good about reposting and you know, sharing the podcast their group and helping with that brand awareness, you know, with developing themselves. So I'm looking forward to Mance. Well, it's going to be a good time. So
this is great.
So we should, there's a David Kirby, one of my bosses. We went out with a group of people to a fabulous fish restaurant. No, it's not expensive. It's just down the street from where the show hall is. You come out of the show hall and you take a right and you kind of walk down there maybe for like a half a mile in this huge fish restaurant. You guys might know, but we should all go hang out there one night.
Is it called Nick's Fish House by chance?
Do you know? I think it is. And I forgot the name.
No, it could. It very well could be.
I think it is.
We literally just had this great, great guy, Nick Carlson, actually was his name. He's from Mulchmate. So, they have some really killer line of tools and, you know, specifically stuff to help the guys that are out there breaking their back with moving bulk product around.
Very cool thinker and race car driver.
And race car driver for that. Anyways, he's from that area and he had talked about that. So we may have a big group dinner coming up. You'd love this guy too. You guys would get some great conversations.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't know. We got to put it up against Thames though. I mean,
Thames Oyster House is our favorite spot that we love going there. So yeah, that's another place we could definitely hit that up too. But
yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Well, hey, well, Nick, I absolutely love our conversation thus far. I had no idea this is where things would head and where our conversation would take us. I'm super appreciative of just your viewpoints, your thoughts, you know, obviously the wealth of knowledge and all the things that you've been involved with in our industry. It's highly, you know, from my standpoint, I highly respect a lot of things that you've done and you've accomplished, and you have such a cool approach and tone about you that, man, I'm like, I got all kinds of ideas of ways we could probably work together, you know? So this is very much kind of very much like a discovery thing for me. So it's very cool to meet you. I love what you guys represent, where you're really like, as you know, not only a Verity, but you as a person, as a spokesperson, you guys are digging into working directly with your clients to better understand them and how that affects your production and your business. And like, you're taking the time to find out the things that matter to grow you as a company. So we commend you guys. You know, we look forward to, our relationship and growing together as well, however that may look. And I did want to see if we could throw one other thing in, but like before we got started. So our co-founder, she's totally into Patagonia. So we, she's an avid skier and just whatever. She's like, you know, loves climbing mountains, all that kind of thing, and has been attracted to the Patagonia brand and what it stands for. You mentioned you had kind of a cool personal story. I'd love to kind of end on that note, if you wouldn't mind sharing that. That would be great.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, and to be reciprocal, and not because I have to be, you chaps are doing a terrific job. So we really see podcasting as a great medium to communicate to each other with, you know, David and I and Lee. I report to two people, David Kirby and Lee Schaefer. So we talk about podcasting and how we can get our hands around it, because it's a very personal, emotional experience. You can get to see people, understand them a bit. So I really am very appreciative of you having me on board. So thank you for that. Awesome. So Patagonia. If there really is a bucket list, then I would like to go to Patagonia. So years and years ago, I used to run with an Neshraman called Kevin Tuhay. And Kevin Tuhay had a super Neshery up in St. Helena, right? St. Helena is right at the north end of Napa Valley. So Kevin was also the local fire chief. They had a volunteer fire department. Kevin was a great fly fisherman. And he started going down to Patagonia before anyone knew about Patagonia, because Patagonia has kind of become a little bit trendy and, you know, stuff like this. So I'm up there with Kevin. I used to, when I did the sales manager job, so I used to cruise around the state a lot, spending time with customers, learning about their businesses. So we're out breaking bread. We're in the local pancake, you know, house having breakfast. Everyone that's coming into the breakfast place, they all know Kevin, because not only for the nursery, but because he's the local fire chief.
Okay.
So we're yakking away. And so I said, any trips lately? He said, yeah, he said, I just got back from Patagonia. I said, and that's, you know, I started to learn a little bit about Patagonia. We're talking about 15 years ago now, maybe 17, 18 years ago. So I said, get away. I said, I've always wanted to go to Patagonia. He said, yeah, I've been going down there for a long time. I said, you're absolutely kidding me. And he said, no. I said, Kevin, you've never told me. No, he said, I go down there fly fishing. He said, Nicholas, you know the extraordinary thing about that place? So he would go with the same guides every year, and they'd go out on these rivers on the prairie lands and stuff like this. You know, catch these magnificent fish. He said, Nicholas, you know, the guides years ago, when I first started going down there, they were thinking about conservation way in advance. And he said, there was only a handful of us going down. We could catch as many fish as we could a day, right? And it was all on barbless hooks, you know. And he said, but we were allowed to keep one fish for supper. Everyone else was put back on the stream. So Patagonia has been, as a country and for the brand, Patagonia has been, I think, a conservation icon. And it's been, that country has been a conservation icon before people started to learn about Patagonia. I'd give my eye teeth to go down there. I really would. If someone said to me, if David and Lee said, we want you to move down to Florida tomorrow, start working for the company down there, I'd say, when am I going? Right? It's one of those things. If someone said, hey, here's a trip to Patagonia, right? I'd be on the next plane down there. It's terrific. That's my story.
I love it.
That's awesome. Man. Yeah. Especially outdoorsmen are going to really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Joe, you and I should do a trip down there. We'll take our fishing rods.
Let's go. You said, tell me when, where we're going. We'll bring, I'm getting Will into the avid outdoorsman part, but he's fly fished. He's gone, you know, hunting. And so that would be cool. We'll do a podcast while we're down there. So
that, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Fantastic. Nicholas, you've been great today. I mean, this has been a big, you know, just an eye opener, but just a fantastic discussion. A great way to start the week, actually.
Thank you.
So this is, and we look forward to, you know, said like Will said earlier, expanding the relationship and diving deeper into Averde too. And we want to get to know you guys a bit more. We'll probably set up a couple follow up episodes, get into more some That'd of the nitty gritty of what you guys do and how you grow for some of the growers listening out there. And then also talking about just your nationwide presence and what it takes to manage something like that. Like, you are fantastic in asking us, you know, how our thoughts are. But I know there's some other folks that would love to just, you know, see how it's done, really, you know, because of your scale. So we appreciate
Thank you
today. And we've appreciated to getting to know you more. You're quite the gent, as you have said so far. So.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really been my and our privilege. Thank you.
I look forward. Look forward to the next.
It's been nice being able to talk you up, if you will.
Yes, thank you. Chat me up.
Chat you up. All right.
Chat me up. Yeah.
I stay corrected. Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
Yeah.
I, again, like what Joe said, we appreciate your viewpoints, just how you see things. Very incredible. I don't think there's anything else I could really dovetail off of Joe, except for we appreciate the really nice, just good, healthy conversation. We hope that people will dig into this, you know, and give it a listen. You know, we want to ask to also our viewers to check out Averde on Landscape Hub. Mm-hmm. Again, like, you know, the thing that you definitely made a point of like helping people understand, what am I going to do with a grower that's growing stuff in California where I'm somewhere else completely across the country? I think there's opportunity to create connectivity anywhere you look. And we're hoping to bridge that gap, you know, through Landscape Hub. So I'm glad that you brought that up today. That's a really critical piece. And again, we look forward to having you back again, just to have some fun banter. I look forward to meeting you in advance, and you know, I'm going to definitely follow up with you and just kind of see what we could get going from a marketing standpoint.
So yeah,
might be able to put together there. So
definitely, definitely.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add for any of your listeners? Maybe how they could find DeVerde, anything that might be pertinent for them to understand?
Yeah. So if anyone has a question or I can help, my email address is N Stadden. You can see the spelling of my name at the bottom of the corner here of the screen. So nstadden@everde.com. So I'm happy to ask a question. And we have a website, www.everde.com. So I think there's a place if you have a question there, happy to help. If there's anything we can do for you in collaboration with the organization that we're with today, then we're very happy to do that. Very happy to do that. It's a great, from our standpoint, the best is yet to come. You know, we're still learning all how to, I think your remark, Will, about blending, the personal with the digital. Mm-hmm. I think that was you, was that?
Yep.
Yeah. That to me, that's a pearl. When someone passes you a pearl, you can drop it and never pick it up. But that's a pearl. Like, so how do you blend that digital with personal? And I'm sure there's many of you out there that are thinking about the same thing. How do I do that? That, that might be terrific conversation with someone far better than I to talk about on that. So how have they done that? And here's the fun part. It might well be someone from outside our profession. It might be somebody who sells motor cars, right? So, I can't believe it. I've got pals of mine who buy cars on the internet now. I said, you don't drive it? Sorry?
Sight unseen? Like they don't actually see the car, of course.
I would never, ever buy a car without taking it for a test drive. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people that do. Yep. So, how can you buy a plant sight unseen? Which really is what your company, right? Your organization, Landscape Hub is doing. It's bringing that desire to fruition.
Indeed. And it's conversations like this that help people to really understand, like you're enlightening me about Everde more than I ever have known to date. Okay.
So thank you.
These are things that our clients need to understand. This gives you that digital voice, if you will. Yeah. And that's where we think podcasts are key for, bringing some of, somebody that's on the computer screen brings them totally to life. So it's pretty cool.
Just talking about it too helps, kind of break the ice on it. Cause sometimes some of these conversations can be hard and it's hard to get them started with someone. Nicholas, you've been very easy to talk to, honestly. It's good to hear it because it also kind of comforts people that they're not the only one thinking about this, which we've heard a lot, a lot of growers be like, oh, I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one, having these struggles or thinking about doing this. Like, I don't want to be labeled as the odd one out. So, great.
Joe, if I could dovetail on that.
Sure.
It's very important that we all have mentors. And I've been real fortunate over the years where people have taken me under their wing to guide and to coach me along. So Joe and Will, and for everyone else out there listening today, if you don't have a mentor, I really encourage you to find a mentor. It doesn't have to be in your business. They can be younger than you, same age as you, they can be older than you. And so seek out someone or a couple of people that you can chat to on a regular basis about you, someone you're prepared to bare your soul to, about you and your business, how it's going, you know, what's going good, what's not going good, etc. The other thing is that I would encourage you to join a peer group. And if you don't have a peer group, start one. And these might be, if you're a sales manager. So, you know, there are going to be peer groups out there, people from motor car companies, carpentry companies, nursery companies, whatever it might be. And once a week or once every couple of weeks, they meet, they have breakfast or lunch or dinner or something like that. We just meet for a cup of coffee in the local coffee shop. And there, those people will, over a period of time, become comfortable sharing what's going well with their businesses and what is on the skids. Because, you know, here's the deal. If you have an issue, someone else has had that issue before you. And if there's someone at the table who can say, oh, that's easy. Well, maybe not easy, but let me tell you what we did to solve that problem. And you might take all of it, you might take some of it, but it will help you through the problem. And it'll put you way in front, right? It'll make you easier. It'll make you a better manager, owner, whatever you might be. So find those mentors that can help you.
I couldn't agree more. Having someone to confide in and understanding that, but the challenge you've never faced, you've got support to get through it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very much so.
Yeah. That's incredible. Good advice, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to keep quiet now.
No, you're good. Yeah. No, again, this has been incredible. We definitely want to wrap things up, and then we look forward to putting this out there for everyone to hear. So
yeah, thank you. I think you've got like 3 episodes.
We might. It's okay. A lot of great content.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you.
So, all right. Well, we'll go ahead and close her down. Again, thank you so much for joining us. This is the Verde Growers. Nicholas Stadden, spokesperson and plantsman for that business. And they're a partner on Landscape Hub. We could be more proud to have them within our network. And we look forward to growing with you guys in the future. Thanks again for coming on today.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
All right, okay. You too.
Bye. Bye.